Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. In the world, we see a lot of politicians. We see various layers of rulers, president, Congress, Supreme Court, governors, state legislatures, mayors, managers, commissioners, policemen, etc. Now, the laws of God govern everything that they do, and God has given the government into the hands of men. Now, if there is a righteous ruler, we will see, then things go well. When there is a wicked ruler, then things do not go well. And you can go down through history and see that this is true in every civilization, in every society, in every empire, and it can start right in the family. When there's a righteous mother and father, the children are blessed. When there is sin and divorce and fighting, the children have a hard time growing up. And many of them are stung with the emotions and the improper rearing that they had to go through. Whereas those who have been taught the truth and reared correctly, given the things of God, now, they may not be called of God unto salvation, but they know enough about God to keep some of the commandments of God and most of the commandments of God, and God will honor that. God will bless them according to it. A calling to salvation is an entirely separate matter. So in the society that we live in, let's look at how some of the Proverbs and the other writings of God tell us about the fundamental things of daily life. Let's come to Proverbs 28, because in Proverbs 28 and 29, we're going to see there are some scriptures which talk directly about the leaders, called rulers in the Bible, whether they are good or whether they are bad, whether they are righteous or whether they are evil, and how it affects the people. Let's ask a question. There are a lot of people who consider that with the evil rulers there are in the world, they look around and their lives are oppressed. Where is there a government that brings some kind of joy and peace? Well, not very many. But currently, the government in Canada is doing quite well to help the people, to benefit the people, to create jobs. Better than in the United States of America. As a matter of fact, there was a recent comparison that they have created 85,000 jobs in Canada, but only have 10% of the population that we do. So if that would have been done equally in America as in Canada, there would have been 850,000 jobs created. But why have we not had jobs created? Because it gets back to this question. Do the leaders follow the principles of righteousness in the book of Proverbs? See, sometimes the answer is very simple. So let's read it. Proverbs 28 and verse 4. Those who forsake the law praise the wicked. Oh, doesn't that sound like some of our political gatherings and so forth? Yes. How's that worked out? Well, but those who keep the law contend against them. Take the issue of abortion. Isn't that so? This Proverbs apply. Okay? Take the issue of capital punishment. The Proverbs apply. Take the issue of government spending. The Proverbs apply. Now what happens? Verse 5. What happens when you get evil men in? And when you get greedy, grasping, covetous men in? like happened in one city in California, all of those who were the rulers or leaders of that city voted themselves great salaries and tremendous pensions. In a small city, a salary of $850,000. What happened to the people? Well, all the services were cut. The people were oppressed. When they finally found out about it, oh, how did this happen? Well, the people elected them. And like a small city in Alabama, here was this nice, wonderful, kind, elderly lady who was voted to be the mayor. And lo and behold, they found out she was a crook at heart and that she embezzled over $100,000 for her own use. So you see how this Proverbs applies? Verse 5, evil men do not understand justice. Want to know what's wrong with the judges? There's your answer. But those who seek the Lord understand all things. Come down here to verse 9. We're going to see this book of Proverbs has a lot of great things in it. And I would like to call your attention to the fact that we have a special Proverbs presentation that you can download, which goes through all the Proverbs in giving you a reading every day, every month, month in and month out, year in and year out, day in and day out. Now, verse 9. He who turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination. Now think about what that does to the people. Because you see, the truth is, the secret inner life of whoever is the ruler, or leader, or president, or senator, or representative, or mayor, or city council, will reflect their public persona and their choices that they make on how they govern. Can't avoid it. Now, verse 10, there are a lot of people who are going to be held accountable for this. Let's add into it teachers here. Because you see, today, children go to the government schools and they are away from home and spend more time in the school, more time in the classroom, more time with their teachers than they do with their own parents. And when the schools do not teach the principles that are in the book of Proverbs, to teach students to be honest, to teach students to work, to teach them to apply themselves, to teach them how to treat other children. Let's come down here to verse 10. Whoever causes the righteous man to go astray in an evil way. Now, think of this. Little children going to school, their minds are not set. They're there to learn. Their minds are very pliable. And when children go to school and start learning of these politically correct things that are espoused by wicked, evil teachers. Oh, they don't think themselves to be wicked or evil. No, they are progressive. Whoever causes the righteous man to go astray in an evil way, he himself shall fall into his own pit. Now, isn't that true? Taking all these young boys and girls coming into puberty, sex hormones beginning to come into their bodies, and they are taught how to have sex right in the classroom. What do you think they're going to do when they get out of school? Huh? And the teachers are responsible, and the legislatures are responsible, and the governor is responsible, and the senators and representatives, and the president of the United States, all the way down. They're all responsible for this. Look at what is happening to their lives. This is one of the reasons that Jesus has to return. Have not their lives all fallen into the pit of illicit sex? But there's a blessing for resisting that. But the upright shall inherit good. Now, let's talk about when there is a change. Now, sometimes the people have enough sense and are involved enough that they check out the one they're voting for to find out, are they honest? Are they true? How was their private life? How long have they been married? How have they handled their finances? Who are their friends? And once in a while, there comes a time when someone who is quite righteous that is elected. But that's rare indeed. Think of the scandals that have been with the presidents of the United States. Huh? Then beyond that, it's their policies and how they govern. Now notice, verse 12, when the righteous triumph, there is great glory. So when that happens, there is release from oppression. Now that happened recently in Canada. They got rid of a liberal, oppressive government that was killing jobs, that was causing great unemployment, and they had great debt. And now that has been all turned around because their prime minister is a righteous person as far as governing is concerned. Now, God will honor that. Now, look at what has happened here in America. You draw the conclusion. Now let's go on. Verse 12, but when the wicked arise, men hide themselves. Isn't that true? Verse 16, this is very interesting because we in America have been victimized by this. Those in France right now are really being victimized by it because they have a ruler who doesn't have any understanding of finance and economics. And what has happened? He's going to tax the rich up to 75% of their income. And as I mentioned before, the rich are not stupid. They're moving to Belgium. So he's saying, why are you going away? Well, it's because you're taxing us. All right? Verse 16, a ruler lacking understanding is also a great oppressor. He who hates covetousness shall prolong his days. Now, how about that for political things, see? All right. Now, let's look at the general population again based on covetousness. Let's come to Jeremiah, the 6th chapter. Let's see what has to happen in the society. Let's see the change that has to take place. And we are right at the fulcrum, and the fulcrum is the center point of a tipping point, one way or the other. And it's all based on the covetousness of people who want something for nothing. It's like one woman said, she was all joyous, and she says, I'm voting for this man because he gave me the cell phone and money.
Keep Obama in president, you know? He gave us a phone.
He gave you a phone.
He's gonna do more.
How'd he give you a phone?
You sign up. If you're on food stamps, you on Social Security, you got low income, you disability.
Well, what if he's a great liar? What if he's trying to set up an entitlement program where everyone will be dependent upon the government and enslave them? Let's read the attitude that leads to it. Jeremiah 6 and verse 13. For everyone from the least of them, even to the greatest of them, is greedy for gain, and the prophets, even unto the priest, everyone deals falsely. Sound like our business world? Our government world, our regulating world, our banking world, from the least to the greatest. Well, they all want their handouts. What happens when 10 people aren't working, but they tax the base of 2 men to pay for their benefits? How much is left for the 2 who work? Now, I'm going to tell you something that's in the Bible that Michelle Bachmann was really excoriated for. She said a biblical principle written by the Apostle Paul, which is this:
if anyone will not work, neither should he eat.
If you won't work, you won't eat. That's scriptural. So what does the latest regime do? They take away the work rule for the welfare to appeal to people to buy votes in order to continue the covetousness. And then the leaders become covetous and look at all of those who are supposedly rich and tax them to pay to spread the wealth around. And what happens? They're breaking the laws and commandments of God. Now, let's see what happens. Verse 14. They have also healed the hurt of the daughter of my people, slightly saying, peace, peace, and there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed, nor could they blush. Therefore, they shall fall among those who fall at the time I punish them. They shall be cast down, says the Lord. How far can we go and hold off the day of reckoning? Because everybody knows the day of reckoning is coming. Economically, governmentally, education, and private lives. God's hand of judgment is going to come. Verse 16, here's what we are to do. We are to change our ways. God always honors repentance. If you're lying, a perpetual, habitual liar, quit lying. Now, it may be hard at first. If you're obsessed with sex, quit being obsessed with sex. If you're given to pleasures, you better find out what's important in your life. If you're living in a false reality, you better get real. If you're living in sin, you better stop. Here's what God says. Thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where the good way is, and walk in it. In other words, return to God and keep His commandments. That's the first step in any rulership. That's the first step in serving the people. That's the first step in solving the problems and difficulties. You can have a jillion elections and jillions of laws, but if they are all lawless, it's going to be a catastrophe. And God says, and you shall find rest for your souls. But what happens? What happens? You try that. You go and say, we're going to defund Planned Parenthood. Ooh, a volcano explodes of wicked, evil women that want to kill the unborn. And politicians that want to hold on to power and money in this nation and every nation in the world. It's just like God says here, verse 17. Also, I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken, or that is, listen to the sound of the ram's horn, but they said, we will not listen. We won't hearken. Don't bother us with that. Couldn't even get our attention with 9/11 much more than about 3 weeks. See, in killing Osama bin Laden and rescuing GM didn't solve the problems of the nation, because the problems of the nations are sins against God. God says that if we would turn to Him, our enemies would be at peace with us. So all the fighting that we are doing, we've been very clever in catching some of them. But God says, if you turn to me and do what is good, your enemies will be at peace with you. Don't you think that God is capable of handling the jihadists? Yes, He is. Have men been capable of handling them? No, they haven't. Have they changed their minds to become nice, good, wonderful, sweet, and loving persons? No, they haven't. See, so politics, leaders and rulers, and voting are all important. But unless God is involved, unless the principles of the Bible are followed, it's not going to do any good. So He gives a warning. And you need to understand that this warning that Jeremiah was giving to the people of Jerusalem asked the question, did every word in the book of Jeremiah happen to those in Jerusalem and in Judea during the days of the prophecy of Jeremiah? Were they sent off into captivity to Babylon? Yes, they were. Why were they sent off? Because the enemy was bad? No. They were sent off because they made themselves enemies of God. Now, there is another fulfillment for us today out of the book of Jeremiah. So let's see what that will be. Let's ask the question, how much of the population is going to quit the sinning, the major sins that they are doing? Whether they repent and are called of salvation, that's another story. We're just talking about the nations here. So God says, verse 18, therefore hear, you nations, and know, O congregation, what will happen to them. Hear, O earth, God swears by the earth. And God says that the heaven and earth he calls his witness against us. Okay. Hear, O earth, I will bring evil on this people. Well, how can a God of love bring evil on people? As judgment for their sins. And notice how he does it. It is just, it is loving, and he extends repentance. But the question is, how many will really hear? Here it is. I will bring evil on this people, even the fruit of their thoughts. What are your thoughts? Now, we have some messages on cbcg.org. Who controls your mind? What do you put in your mind? Even your thoughts. God judges this nation by the collective combined thinking, whether good or evil, by everyone who lives here, and he starts with the leaders. Why? Because they have not hearkened to my words, nor to my law, but have rejected it. Now you think on that. You pray on that. You look around and you observe in the world and see what is happening to it, and you need to understand your only hope and the only hope of every one of us is God in heaven above and Jesus Christ at his right hand. Yes, have your politics. Yes, have your election. Yes, put people in to office that whatever they think is going to be the best for what they want. But if it's motivated by evil and greed and covetousness, and if you get in foolish rulers that don't understand laws, that don't understand economics, that don't understand righteousness, you are just dooming yourself for another round of insoluble problems. So these are the truth and reality of what's happening in the world today. And it's all because the religious leaders are not teaching the people. That's why you need our books. Lord, what should I do? The day Jesus the Christ died. And you need the Holy Bible in its original order. We have a special offer for donation for the Bible. We give all of the rest of our material out free. There are over 50 articles on Church at Home you can download and read and study for yourself. And we want to help you so that your life, beginning in your home, can be changed, that you can seek God, that you can find God, that you can understand His Word and have your life straightened out before God. Now, that's the whole goal of what we want. We're not interested in politics. We're not interested in the traditions of men. We preach and teach just the Scriptures. Live by the Scriptures. Love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and being. Love your neighbor as yourself. Pray for your enemies. Help those who are in need. All of those things are what God wants us to do. That's why we're here. That's why we do what we do. And there are people who support what we do because they're doing that in their lives too. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. So until next time, this is Fred Colter saying, so long, everyone.
Thank you.